Get ready for a whale of a tale with episode number 12 of the Retro Rewind Podcast.
Retro Rewind Podcast initialized. Mission identified. Star Trek 4, 1986. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome, everyone, to the Retro Rewind Podcast. This is the podcast where we look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago and let you know whether they're still worth revisiting today. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I'm a dad, a designer, and a dilithium crystal expert. No, not really.
Right.
And I am joined by my good friend, Paul Bowers. How are you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing really good.
Awesome. My question for you today, before we introduce our guest host, is do you have a favorite movie theater, like franchise, like a Regal or Century or anything like that?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to go back and say I'm doing really well just because it's going to bug those grammar people. and then getting back to your questions, we have an AMC theater that I really like. I like the quality of their 3D glasses and mm-hmm. their sound system here and their refillable drinks. So that's the one I prefer closest to me.
Cool. Very nice. And guest hosting with us once again is my lovely wife, Christy Ruiz. Welcome, Christy.
Hello. Welcome to me.
Welcome to you indeed.
All right.
And I have a question for you.
42.
No. Good try, though.
Okay.
But since you're becoming a regular, I want the listeners to get to know you a little bit better, too. What is your favorite type of movie?
A good one.
I hate that. I can't pick a favorite of anything. One thing. Favorite type of movie?
The Princess Bride, because it has every type in it.
Oh, yeah. Right. There you go.
Cop Out. Cop.
Oh, you like the movie Cop Out?
We can come back to you at the end of the show if you'd
animated
like.
Animated movies.
Oh, okay. That's a good
Did you say Iron Maiden movies?
Whoa.
No. What'd you say?
Superhero movies, feel-good movies.
Feel-good. So a superhero that makes you feel good.
So you have lots of favorite types of movies.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
So here is what the listeners can learn about me. I do not pick one favorite of much of anything. I have one favorite husband.
Yay!
There are many things that I have to make a list of that are my favorites.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing that bit of information with the listeners. All right, let's move on to our new tube section. Alice, go.
New tube systems engaged.
All right, thank you, Alice. Christy, let's start with you. What is new on your tube? And again, for listeners that may be new to the Retro Rewind podcast, this is a segment where we just talk about new movies, video games, even music that we've listened to or played or watched, and whether we would recommend it or not.
Caught me right in the middle of a stretch.
That's okay.
I got to watch Jurassic Park 3D.
Oh, cool.
And it was awesome. I have the trilogy of those movies in a little box set that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. And I watch them on a fairly regular basis, but to be able to watch the original one on 3D was just, I don't know. I love it. It doesn't really get old to me. There are things now where I'm like, that's dated, but still it holds up well against the test of time. I think it would be a classic.
And would you think, what did you think about the 3D specifically? I'm curious.
I think it made it more intense. I was chewing on my fingers and biting my nails part mm-hmm. of the time. And I think I even jumped when I know this movie really well. So,
sure, yeah.
I think it just made it more, it was just added another another layer of entertainment to a movie that I knew very well.
Cool.
So I would recommend it for anybody who likes the movie and would just wants to watch it again because they like it so much. It's like, it's almost like watching it new.
Great. Thank you, Christy. Paul, what is new on your tube?
Now, for new tubes, we can also do what something that we've read.
Yeah, sure. No? Yeah.
Okay. So, recently.
It's like new media, essentially.
All right. Yeah, because well, I think Christy did a magazine once. So, yeah. I thought maybe it would be okay to do a book. I recently read The Vision by Rick Joyner.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
I have not.
No, many people, I haven't heard many people who have. It's a faith-based book, Christian-based book. Mm-hmm. But it's basically he received these visions from God.
Okay.
And he basically just wrote it down. And it is fascinating.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like the first chapter. I started reading, like it was like really late at night. I was really tired. And I was about to go to sleep, and my cousin recommended it to me based on the kind of book that I'm writing now, which I'll get to later in other episodes because it's going to be a while before I finish that book. Anyway, but that first night I was really tired. I was like, all right, I'll just read like the intro just to like go to sleep. I wound up reading the first two chapters.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and you can download the Kindle version. There's a free... I think like you can download the first chapter for free on Kindle. Yeah.
You can pretty much get any book, a sample chapter or whatnot on the Kindle.
Right. So I'd recommend go out and get the book. But if you find at least the first chapter fascinating, go out and get the rest.
Cool. And that is The Vision by
Rick Joyner.
Rick Joyner. Okay. And all these will be in the show notes and links to them so you can get access them more easily.
Oh, so Francisco, what's been new on your tube lately?
Well, it's not quite, it's only new in sort of a preliminary sense, but I recently just came upon this Kickstarter game called Pixel Press. And I essentially, if you can fall in love with the concept of an app, then that's what happened to me. Essentially, for all you people that really enjoyed 2D platformers back in the day, I would assume pretty much our audience, like if you played Mario or Sonic the Hedgehog, games of that nature, I would definitely check out this game. Go to pixelpressgame.com and check it out. Essentially, what you're doing is you print out sort of a specialized piece of graph paper and you draw out five levels of a platformer. So, and there can be things like traps and pits and then you're going to have your character jumping through this whole place and scale up five levels. And you want to design it to be, you know, harder as you go, but, you draw it out on this graph paper. Then you take a picture of it with your iDevice, like your iPad or iPhone. And then it creates an actual game that you can then, layer with your own sprite sheet and play through, and you can share that with your friends, and it just sounds so amazing to me. I don't know why, but it's very cool. And you can put in your own sprite sheets, your own graphics. So let's say you and sort of mash up levels made from older games. So if you had like a Super Mario level, you could then have that be level one and then go into a Sonic the Hedgehog level. And then go into, I don't know, Crash Bandicoot level. And then, I mean, so you could mix all these genres together. You have to have access to these or draw them yourself, but it's just really cool that you could put something like that together. And so I definitely recommend going out and checking out Pixel Press, and it's being Kickstarted right now. I've backed it. I recommend you do too, so that we can all enjoy this game together.
So is this iOS based or is it Android as well?
It's iOS. One of their stretch goals is to make an Android version. So if you're on an Android phone and this sounds awesome, all the more reason to back it.
Yeah.
And that is that.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our roundtable discussion of Star Trek IV. Alice, have you found our target?
Alert. Alert. Target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
Admiral Kirk is being court-martialed.
There shall be no peace as long as Kirk lives.
Spock has lost his memory. It's really McCoy. You really have gone where no man's gone before. They're going back in time to explore the strangest world of all.
Many of their customs will doubtless take us by surprise.
You guys like Italian?
No.
Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, rated PG. Beaming to theaters everywhere, Wednesday, November 26th.
All right, that obviously was recorded off the TV and from the way back when this movie came out. So it's probably hard to hear. Christy, would you read us the synopsis for what Star Trek IV The Voyage Home is about?
I would love to. To save Earth from an alien probe, Admiral Kirk and his fugitive crew go back to the 20th century Earth to retrieve the only beings who can communicate with it. The probe, humpback whale.
Dun, dun, dun. And Paul, will you tell us Paul, will you tell us a little bit about the technicals of the movie, like who was in it, how much it make, things like that?
Okay, Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home came out on November 26th of 1986 in the U.S. of A. It was directed by Leonard Nimoy,
which I was very surprised by. I was like, whoa, cool.
Yeah, oh, he's a big Star Trek fans director, but okay. At least for the old school kind.
Yeah.
And it stars William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, the whole Star Trek gang. And it also features Catherine Hicks, who was the mom on Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, Mrs. Camden herself.
Yes. And it also had some of the characters from Star Trek II that if you've watched Star Trek II and III, and this is IV, mm-hmm. It's part three of that ongoing story. So it had some of the actors in those movies come in. Let's see, the budget for this film was an estimated $25 million, and it went on to gross $133 million worldwide.
Wow. Lots of people like Star Trek.
You think?
Well, how much did the new one gross? Like,
I'm sure it did very well.
And then the one that's coming out.
Yeah. You mean the one that's coming out like
tomorrow?
A couple days? Is it a tomorrow?
When people are listening to this, it'll be tomorrow.
The fourth wall.
Oh, yeah, Thursday. Yeah. I was thinking it came out on Friday, but if you're seeing the midnight showing.
Yeah, it's. I mean, technically, that's still Friday.
Yeah.
We're digressing, though. Let's get on to Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, not Star Trek Into Darkness. Paul, I'd like to start with you. What is a vivid memory of Star Trek IV that you have? Or as you like to say, Star Trek IV?
Yes, because we can't get enough.
I was trying to think of a joke to it with that. You are so much faster than me.
Vivid memory. One of the things, the search for more whales. No.
This isn't space whales.
Yeah, the search for more money. No. them going back in time to San Francisco in the 80s, I thought it was just the concept was really cool. That idea of the futuristic movies come back in our time has always fascinated me.
Nice.
Them taking on the... Seeing them cuss, which was not, it's not a highlight. But it's kind of funny to watch.
Yeah, you know? I'd agree. That was funny, especially Spock.
Yeah. That's basically the concept.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Did that concept stick out to you in your memory, Christy, or was something else more forefront?
The swearing?
Oh, really? The swearing is what?
I was asking, what concept?
The concept of Star Trek takes place in the future, like several hundred years in the future. Right. And then having most of this movie take place during our time. It's like the time travel factor.
So that being the concept.
No, I remembered whales in the ship.
Whales in the ship, yeah.
And the lady.
Oh, you remembered Mrs. Camden?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I had completely forgotten her until I watched this. I watched this probably when I was a little bit like starting in college. I watched it again, and I haven't seen it since then. But originally when I saw it as a kid, from that time to college, I had forgotten that she was in it.
Well, when you were a kid, she wasn't in Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, so I probably wouldn't have had the association.
Yeah.
For me, I definitely would second what you said, Christy, about having the humpback whales in a ship, in the Kleong ship. That was definitely a vivid memory. But another one I had was Scotty talking to the computer and picking up the mouse and saying, "Hello, computer."
Hello, computer. Yes. That wasn't a vivid memory, but it was definitely a memory that I had. Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's vivid enough.
Sure.
It wasn't the first thing I thought of, but it's definitely memorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was for whatever reason, that very much sticks out for me.
I enjoyed his performance in this movie. It made me sad that he's no longer with us.
Mm-hmm. I do want to touch on what you said about the concept of going back in time, Paul, in this movie. I'm curious what you guys think about this. So the way they did it, the way they did time travel was they got up to a really high warp speed and slingshotted around the sun.
Yeah, which made them go faster.
Okay, but why does speed... Are they using some sort of weird Back to the Future and it gets up to 88 miles per hour mechanic? Or why does that make them go back in time?
Go ahead, Christy.
I was going to say, you're not asking about this movie. You're asking about most time travel movies, unless it's Doctor Who.
Well, I mean...
But that's a ship.
With, like, Back to the Future, it's like the flux capacitor does time travel. Okay, well, okay. That's...
But you have to get up fast. I don't know. Rip through the time-space continuum.
Oh, we'll see. I could buy that, but go ahead, Paul.
This is based on... What's his noodles? E equals MC square. The relativity.
Einstein.
Yeah, Einstein.
That guy.
Based on his theory that basically the faster you get to a point where you go so fast that time actually stands still. And if you go faster than that, it goes backwards. So you can actually go back in time. So it's based on the theory that the faster you go, the more you can go back in time.
Interesting.
So
okay. They
went as fast as they could. And when you slingshot around the sun, it kind of pulls you and makes you even go faster.
Yeah. Okay. See, thank you. I'm totally willing to buy that. But they did no setup of that. And so I was like, why is this working? Are you going with Superman spinning the earth backwards somehow turns back time? I mean, I didn't know, so.
No, that's actually based on the same theory.
Okay, that's a completely different discussion.
Yeah, it totally is. Let's move on from there.
Both of them raised their hackles and snarled a little bit in the video.
It's a big misconception of the first Superman movie.
Yes, we know, but we didn't do that on this podcast. We're doing Star Trek.
All right.
Yeah. Let's put our gloves down, Paul. Let's move.
Put
on.
A pin in it.
It's not a gloves, it's an education hat. But if you don't want it, take it off.
No, we don't want to be educated about Superman.
I do not want to be. Well, actually, sometimes I do want to be educated.
Tangent.
About Superman, but not at this moment. At this moment, I want to talk about our favorite memories of Star Trek IV and how they compared to rewatching it. Christy, let's start with you. What was one of your favorite memories?
The whales. That's all I remembered was the whales and the lady. After watching it, I was like, oh yeah. But that happens all the time.
And speaking of things I forgot, I totally forgot once again for us to give our predictions. But at least I didn't wait till we were just about to give our ratings. So real quick, let's slingshot these around the sun. Paul, would you have...
Classic.
Classic prediction. Okay. Christy?
I also forgot to do that part.
That's fine. Just you can do it from the hip.
Classic.
Okay. And I thought second class. So, okay, let's get back to favorite memories, which for Christy was the whales. And I want to share that when I asked you if you'd be willing to do this episode, You're like, I don't know if I've seen that one. And I said, it's the one with where they go back and get whales. And she like put her hands up and like, oh yeah, I have seen that one. Very excitedly. It was very cute. So I just want to share that.
Yay for whales.
Yay for whales. Exactly. Well, Paul, how about you? Did you have any other favorite memories, or was it all whales for you?
No. My favorite memory was the one where he was talking to the computer. But also, because it's funny, but also in that same line, I thought about, you know, that whole concept of him telling the guy the formula for transparent aluminum, and then say, well, how do we know he didn't invent it?
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool. Yeah,
that is a good sort of
and then ever since I was a kid, I've been waiting for them to invent transparent aluminum. To see when
they come up with
it? Yeah. I don't know. Not that I think know so. Of, but who knows?
Well, see, and I always thought of aluminum as not very strong, I guess because I think of aluminum cans. So I don't know why that would be stronger than plexiglass or whatever. But I'm certainly not a chemical engineer or what have you, whatever you need to make something like that work.
Anyone is out there who knows, please let us know.
Absolutely. Were you going to say something, Christy?
No, I just accidentally bumped the mic. Sorry.
Okay. No worries. One of my favorite memories was this is one of those memories. In general, I really liked the way the Kleon Bird of Prey ship looked. I just liked the design of it.
Yeah.
But apparently, I remembered it looking quite differently than it actually ended up looking.
It looked like a Romulan ship. No, what did it look like?
To me, it looked like, I'll do my best to describe this. For listeners, this probably won't come off very well, but if you can envision this sort of like a globe as the front of the ship.
Oh, like the flight of the Navigator.
No, not at all. Like,
oh, I know, yeah.
Like 2001, I guess, that ship, the sort of this circle or ball, that's the head of the ship, and then down the neck. And then I remember the wings as sort of coming from the center down.
That's a Romulan ship.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, you're thinking of a Romulan.
Ha, called it.
Good job. They do look familiar, as so much so that in rewatching The Next Generation, I was like, oh, look, the Klingons, because they also have
cloaking
devices. Yeah. But yeah, that's what the Romulan ships look like.
I thought, okay.
Well, right. They look a little different, but it's hard to...
No, he's describing.
It could be. What is describing?
I love that word, describing.
Compliance.
Anyway, favorite memories?
Yeah, well, we're still talking about my Bird of Prey incepted memory, but...
It's okay to get those confused.
Oh, yeah, no, you're talking about the old school Romulans. I was thinking the new school Romulans. Yeah, the original series. Yeah. Wait.
Yes.
I'll have to put in some pictures.
I think you're talking about the original in the original series, this TV show.
It's called Star Trek.
Yes, but in the TV series it did, but in the movies they upgraded it to that.
In this movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because what you're describing is exactly what that looks like.
Okay. Well, cool. I'm glad. I may retract that Inception sound effect then.
Anyway.
Thank you. Moving on. Yeah, did you have any favorite memories that you remembered, Christy?
You asked me that already?
Well, no, but then you were saying favorite memories, like you're about to, we want to say
no, you asked me that and I said whales.
Okay. Did you have any other favorite ones, Paul? I actually did not have very many.
Oh, favorite memories? Oh, yeah. There were a lot of them.
Oh, let's go then, because that was my only one, actually.
Oh, there's just a lot of funny parts, like when the doctor gave that lady who was...
Oh, yeah.
like in pain and some pills or whatever in the hallway. And the next scene, she's all better. And
I didn't notice that. The doctor gave me a pill and it grew a kidney.
I didn't notice the line, what she said when I was younger. I just noticed that she was excited. Then I rewatching it now, I was like, how could she grow a kidney? They should have just made her excited and make it more believable.
It's the 23rd century. They can grow anything.
Well, yeah, I guess now with the stem cells and the...
It's like the little the pills that you stick in the bathtub that expand once they hit water. Nice. It's like that.
Ah, I got a dinosaur. I need a kidney. Darn it.
I loved those things. Yeah, do totally. A retro rewind on those things.
They aren't a movie or video game, though.
Oh, but they're awesome.
What? Did you have another one, Paul? I have... Yeah, go ahead.
The part where the Spock is swimming with the
oh yeah,
he's like maybe he's trying to talk to that man. Kirk is like going, oh my gosh,
yeah, trying like, what do I do anything?
Yeah, it's those funny moments that I remembered.
Wow, yeah, like that. That's awesome. I didn't remember any of them though. I really, watching it again, I was really sort of very drawn in by Kirk and William Shatner's performance of him here. He is very charismatic, I felt, and I was like, oh, this... Because I haven't watched a whole lot of the original series or original movies, so a lot of... When people reference him in, like, Big Bang Theory or other shows as, like, being sort of a very Han Solo-esque character in the Star Trek universe... I totally saw it now, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You should, have you seen Star Trek 2?
No, I have not. I have seen 4 and 6.
Okay, you need to go back and see 2 and 3, and then you'll really have appreciation for this movie, because he has some good ones where he battles some Klingons in there, and Khan in the second one.
Yeah.
I was frustrated that I didn't know what half the movie was about because of that.
Actually, yeah, I want to second that's one thing that I don't know why this was the movie that my parents decided to put on for us to watch of all the Star Treks to start with. Four, but
it's probably the most lighthearted. If you're going to introduce it to your kids, that's probably the one to do it with.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't know what's going on. Like the first 30 to 45 minutes, I was like, I mean, I only knew kind of what was going on because I'm familiar with the Star Trek universe in general. But if I wasn't, if this was my first exposure to it, I would have no idea what was going on.
But you knew enough to enjoy the film, it sounded like.
I mean,
well, I enjoyed parts of it.
Now, but back when I was a kid, I was like, I don't remember exactly how I reacted. I think it was I saw spaceships and I saw whales and I thought that was cool. And that
there
was
you go. But that's all you need to know.
Okay, I may disagree with that, but one of the things, like you were talking about favorite things that I saw rewatching it, I really thought, I don't know why this tickled me. I mean, it tickled me for a couple reasons, but when Chekhov and Uhura are out looking for the nuclear vessels. I can't say
it. Wessels.
Wessels.
Wessels, yeah. Is he saying vessels?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I thought it was missiles this whole time. I don't know why, but vessels makes a lot more sense now.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he was saying wessels, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's like 50 goes west.
But it was interesting because it took me a second, and then I got, oh, he's Russian. And back in the Cold War era, talking to a cop asking for nuclear missiles would have been very funny. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's doing that. And it's funny because he doesn't realize that that's the era. But nowadays, it's like, why is this cop sort of giving him the cold shoulder about this? But you sort of have to know the context of when the movie came out.
Exactly, yeah.
To get that joke, which I think is a very meta thing. And so I found that humorous. Let's talk about things we wish we could forget about Star Trek 4, if there were any.
I have something that I wish I could forget after watching it again.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I what I
but
have.
But I did have one thing that I wrote down.
Okay.
Unfortunately, after rewatching it, I don't know if I necessarily agree with my perception as a teenager, but I had the memory of the heroine being like drama. You just like, okay, lady, calm down.
Oh, yeah.
Just over the top. Meh! All the time. But then rewatching it, she wasn't.
You gotta save the whales.
She was just
really passionate. See, I felt the opposite. I didn't think she was that overdramatic. And then, but this time as an adult, I thought she was overdramatic telling, like, and then at when she's sitting at dinner with Captain Kirk, Admiral Kirk at the time, he's like, it's like, I can tell you're very passionate about the whales. Oh, really? Duh, it's obvious. All the time.
I also put down that I really wish I could forget the overacting, like the cheesy.
From what? Who is overacting?
Oh, just that time period of movies where you're just in the 80s. It's just all a little like, oh my goodness.
Oh, I did not get that sense.
I didn't either, but that's okay.
Yeah, it totally is okay.
I feel rejected. It's just cheesy.
Yeah. Oh, I will agree with you there.
Yes.
But can I say my thing that I wish I could forget now that I watched it?
I thought that was... Oh, no. That was from when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, please do.
No, the thing that I desperately wish I could forget was the first time they traveled in time. I was like... Am I on an acid trip? What the junk is going on right now? These formless globules of clay are coming up out of the mist and they're forming into the people as we pan through them. It's like an opening scene of a really bad movie and then everybody's whispering things and saying things and it's all over talking and...
It's kind of like how the Retro Rewind podcast when Going Back to the Future used to be. Oh my gosh. But I agree, Christy. That was the moment that I wish I could forget, too. Especially at the end when then there's these image of the whales. It's like, what does that have to do with going back in time? Yes, that's a plot point, but not in going back in time. That has nothing to do with what they're doing.
I mean, maybe I should be illegally using some sort of non-prescription drug at that moment.
But I thought it was a cool concept with their heads morphing into other heads.
Yeah. What is that cool? That is not connected to anything.
It's a cool concept. I'm not saying that it was the best choice for that time.
I think they're going for something. They're going for something that is dream-esque, and dreams don't make a lot of sense, and they sort of like are formless and move in from one thing to another very...
So this is all a dream? No, this is actually happening. So why do the dream-esque? It doesn't make sense. I'm with Christy on this.
I
thought they were essentially blacked out at that in that time, and that's why it went to the sort of dreamish sequence.
Oh, maybe. Okay,
I mean, because they wake up when they get the past.
Okay, but I don't buy the whale butts.
Yeah. Well, that's part of their dream, apparently.
Tails.
Yeah, apparently.
They're not butts, I guess. They're tails. Sorry, biologists.
They subconsciously knew the whole time that they needed to get the whales. Oh, wait. At that time, did they? Yeah, they had figured out they needed. Okay, that's why.
Paul, how about you? I wish I could forget it.
No, that was my thing that I wish I could forget. The same sequence. Yeah.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. For me, this is kind of ridiculous, but and this is after watching the movie. I didn't really have something I wish I could forget before. But
if you're going to laugh in the microphone, you might as well tell people that somebody's making a funny face at you. It doesn't make
Paul
sense.
Paul is making a funny face at me. Sorry. That's okay.
Silly boys.
Yeah. It didn't make sense to me why they decided to go with humpback whales as opposed to, you know, killer whales, which are way cooler, or blue whales because they're the largest, so why not?
Because wouldn't fit in the ship.
Okay, killer whales would fit a lot easier.
And people are more familiar with the humpback.
Maybe it was more hunted at the time.
Actually, go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
This is obviously... not a political piece, an environmental piece that's very driven this way, you know, to save the environment.
Yeah. And you know what? I bet when I was a kid, I felt like, yeah, we got to go save those whales. And I mean, because I felt that way. I certainly felt that way after Ferngully. Like, we gotta save the rainforest.
I remember the whales because of Fern Gully.
No, the rainforest because of Fern Gully.
Oh yeah, because that oil monster machine's gonna destroy them all.
Yeah, I swear I started recycling like the day after I watched Fern Gully. I'm like, well, I gotta get cans into recycle. Yeah, but I'm curious if that had any sort of impact on the audience at large, and that's one of the reasons humpback whales, as far as I know, are not endangered anymore. But maybe they are, but I haven't.
Yes, Star Trek saved them.
Yes, I think that's the case.
Yeah.
And now we don't have to worry about this alien burrito coming and vaporizing all.
I totally didn't see a burrito until after its little probe went away.
That's funny.
It looks like a Chipotle burrito.
Yeah, exactly. Why in the world would they make that the alien ship?
Who knows? I mean, there's so many plot holes.
Why not be in the form of sort of a whale-esque form? But
I want to know why, when they put beamed the whales to the ship, that there's no obvious place for them to surface and breathe.
But yes. You don't know the top. There's like a foot at the top that you can't see. It's full of air.
I suppose.
I figured that. I assumed that, yeah. And I suspended disbelief, but I also thought it was funny that anytime we saw the pictures of the whales, they were so small.
they fit so
nicely inside the picture. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's nice.
If you want to talk about problems with beaming, how about when they beamed Kirk onto the ship and then she jumped on, and that was only calculated for one person?
Oh, yeah.
How come their atoms just didn't go everywhere inside the ship?
No. They would have morphed into one person.
Yeah, or something like
that. That's one of the things that I freaked out as a kid. Like, oh my gosh, she jumped on them, and now they're going to be, like, destroyed inside.
I guess Scotty's just that awesome that he can split them while they're teleporting or something.
Or you're not focused on one person, just whatever's around them too. So do they get the grass and the dirt with it, you know, with their standing?
Probably.
And then the ship filters it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That awesome Cleon vessel. I remember being a lot greener also, but maybe that is a Romulan thing.
It was green.
I mean greener, like really green.
Like glow in the dark green?
Yeah, essentially.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not ever see the beginning of this movie, FYI.
You didn't see the beginning of the movie?
Nope. Watching it now, I was like, I've never seen this.
Oh, interesting.
I'm so lost.
Yeah, apparently not.
How are you feeling? That's how we should have started the podcast.
Oh, that totally is. Nice. I may go back.
Tell Mother I feel fine.
That's kind of nice, seeing Spock's progression of becoming more human, though not having seen the first two movies like you suggested, Paul. I didn't really know where he was prior.
Dead.
Yes, he was dead, Jim.
Spoiler alert, people.
They said that in the movie. Bones was talking to him about
it. Well, it is a spoiler for two, but not for three.
They said it in the movie. How is it a spoiler if you watch it?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, never mind. Four is a spoiler for two, then.
Dirk.
Yeah. Alrighty. I did want to just touch on real briefly the whales. Even though they look small, I was impressed with how they did the whales. I mean, I wouldn't be, if someone told me that they use real whales throughout the whole thing, I would not bat an eye to that. I'd be like,
didn't see like weird. A shot of them in front of the bridge. They look huge, and it was like. You know what part I'm talking about?
Like where they're sailing off into the sunset?
Yeah.
And they never go down. They just stay floating on the surface. Like,
yeah, and they look huge. Little boats. Well, it's obviously animated in, or at least part of it. I don't know if they took live footage and animated it on top, you know, where they cut it out. Anyway, it looked... Sorry.
Well, I'm not saying that they used life-size whales on the set, but that they took footage of real whales. It all looked real, and then when I mean, it very well could have just been like the top part of the whale and the fluke.
Yep, what it was. Okay. You couldn't tell. I could tell the difference between a real whale fluke and tail.
I'm not a whale
over the other one. It just looks different. It felt different, and
I'm not a marine biologist. So.
What's a whale fluke?
I'm sorry if anybody hears my phone going off in the background. My friend's blowing up my phone again.
Oh, Paul, did you think the whales looked real? Or
for the most, there was a few scenes where they were in the distance that they looked animated to me.
Oh, okay. I guess it was just me then. Maybe I wasn't wearing my glasses when I watched, so maybe that was it.
You lost them and haven't ordered new ones.
Yeah.
So you are basically listening to the movie.
Pretty much.
My glasses aren't that.
Oh,
my
yes,
eyes aren't
they are.
That bad.
Yes, they are.
Who are you people again? Oh goodness. Did you guys think that before they changed, before Uhura did the voice change sound modulation on the whales at the alien ship, the Burrito, that they sounded like the Nazgul in Lord of the Rings?
No. Oh. I thought they sounded like whales.
Oh, really? It sounded like whales? Well, but
I knew it was whales.
Yeah, so I don't know if you'd know that before watching it. No, Paul says.
Mm-mm. I don't know. I didn't make that connection, so I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right.
All right. I think let's go ahead and end before we get to our rating with...
okay, bye, folks.
Nice.
In the end, Mrs. Camden says that she's going to tell Kirk that he doesn't have to find her, that she'll find him. How in the world is she supposed to do that?
That's
she's
going to
be on a science
up.
Science vessel.
That's a way of easing it.
Look, I would like to ask a question. Yeah. I would like to ask a question. If you went 300 years into the future, would you be smiling, happy, and well-adjusted the day after you just crashed in an alien ship surrounded by aliens, nearly drowning in rain that was still pouring when the water was blue? P.S. Did anybody else notice that? There was like shot of the whales, shot of them, raining. Shot of the whales, shot of them, raining. Shot of the whales, shot of them, sunny.
That's the weather in San Francisco.
The weather changed completely. Everything was blue and sunny except for one section by them on the ship because someone forgot to turn off the water. It was hilarious. Really? Huh.
I did not notice that.
Oh, I did. And I really hated that she was just like, woohoo, I'm 300 years in the future going to work on a science vessel.
Yeah, I would be.
You would have culture shock and you would have to take some time to figure it out. I mean, I could see being excited, but she's surrounded
You don't know it's the next day. You're assuming it's the next day. It's obviously not the next day because she's already plugged in and already has assignment and everything. So it's a while. And you know the courts, how long they take.
Oh, okay.
In the future?
I see.
Yeah. No,
in the future, the courts, they've abolished all lawyers. And so
I still maintain that she adjusted rather quickly.
I disagree.
She adjusted rather quickly, and you can't disagree.
She brought the audience on a high, left the audience on a high.
What? She was just a secondary character.
I think you guys will have to agree to disagree in this instance.
We always have to agree
with Francisco on this.
I agree with me. So that's two votes for me and only one for you. Ha ha.
Woohoo!
Well, I think that leaves us with, you know what time it is, Paul, right?
We already said goodbye, folks. So it's time for the Retro Rewind review, the moment of truth.
The moment of truth, also known as the Retro Rewind Roundtable review. Christy, let's start with you. Would you rate Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, a classic or second class, and how do you rate classic or second class? Please remind us.
I don't know. It's hard. I sort of desperately try and make my decision at the very end because I want to, and if I mostly like it, I'm like, that's cool. I don't want to hurt the movie's feelings.
No.
But I don't think I would show this movie to Sophia, and I wouldn't recommend it if a bunch of people were over and were like, what do you want to watch? I would rather watch Next Generation movies over this anytime. So I say second class.
Second class from Christy. Paul,
although I did like it. I didn't mind watching it again.
Mine
the whale's
is...
feelings are not hurt. Yeah, go for it, Paul.
I have a caveat with mine.
You know what? I kind of have a caveat with mine too, but what's your caveat?
Okay. So typically the way I define a classic, if there's a bunch of peers that I have over and they haven't seen this movie, would I recommend that they see it?
Mm-hmm.
My caveat is, well, it depends.
Okay.
If they're fans of the current
Star Trek movies?
Star Trek revamp,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't ever seen any of the old ones,
mm-hmm.
And they want to, then I think this would be a good one to introduce them so they know what the characters were, that I would recommend that.
Okay.
But if you're fans of the current ones and you really have no interest, and most people, I think most Star Trek fans would be like, oh, well, you got to see the original so they know what they're based off of.
Sure.
I would probably not recommend this because there are several things in it the music is just cheesy at points where they're like going through the hospital and it's like, dun, 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 dun. It's all upbeat. Yeah. And when they're going through the ship, or not the ship, the other Enterprise, it's kind of, they have sometimes this really campy and silly. It's just, and it's very environmental. When I was a kid, my dad said, oh, it's just a political push. It's all just environmental based. Mm-hmm. It's not really that much of a Star Trek plot. It's all trying to save the whales more. Now, as a kid, I was like, no, this is just another storyline. They have all kinds of storylines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now watching as adult, no, this is like very much, they could have went home and not saved the whales. I mean, it's a fun trip, but this was very... The environmental friendly tones are very there.
Yes.
It's hard to escape that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't mind all that, then sure. But since this is a Star Trek movie, and I do like the Star Trek universe, I do think it's one of their better films.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to say it's a classic.
Really?
After I like all that. Yeah. I like Paul's whatever his summation. I like it. I agree with you, Paul.
Yeah.
Well, so that is that two votes for Paul now, so you both are tied again?
I guess so.
I wasn't I'm not keeping score, but so far we have a second class and a classic.
That's true, which leads it to me. So I want to remind you guys, a classic to me is a movie that I find enjoyable pretty much, and I think other people would find enjoyable, and it'd be something I would quote. It'd be something I'd show Sophia when she gets to, I guess I was going to show her, I'd probably show her this in her teens or maybe tweens, but probably like around that age.
If she was 9 years old, you wouldn't show her?
No.
Probably not, I don't think.
Okay.
I'm going to have to rate... Star Trek IV, a second class movie.
Oh.
Yeah. I do have a slight caveat, though. It's somewhat similar to yours, Paul. I'd say if you are a fan of Star Trek in general, then it'd be one to check out. It is one of the better ones, especially of the original movies, of the two that I've seen.
Nice.
So maybe you want to take my review with a spoonful of sugar, but... Definitely.
What? You said like 4 billion times.
4 billion 5. You just said it.
I'm not saying. Do we really have to have this conversation?
No, we don't. If you're a fan of Star Trek, I would recommend you see this. But for anyone else, I would not recommend it. And even
if you're not a fan of the Star Trek universe, then no. Why would it be enjoyable?
Well, I think someone who isn't a fan of Star Trek universe and goes and sees the most recent Star Trek movie by J.J. Abrams, if they're a fan of sci-fi at all, they would like it. Or just action movies in general, I think they would like it. Well, I think a lot of people would like Star Trek based on that movie. I don't think hardly anyone would like Star Trek based on Star Trek 4.
These days. Back in the 80s when it came out, it was really good.
Oh, yeah, actually.
But, no, you go, like, I think the people people like the new Star Trek movies that aren't fans of the original Star Trek movies, but I wouldn't call them actual fans. You're not a fan unless you've seen...
They're not Trekkies.
No,
Or Trekkers.
Or is it Trekkers? Is that the
official? No, there's two different kinds. There's a Trekkie and a Trekker.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that I fell in love with The Next Generation. The Next Generation is my favorite, but that came out when I was watching a lot of TV as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I will enjoy almost any Star Trek you put in front of me and critique it only for overacting or cheesy costumes or special effects or something, just because that's what I feel like I want to complain about.
Speaking of cheesy costumes, you see the alien with the big huge head, the girl that was part of the jury? Where is she in all the other Star Trek renditions?
And did you see the Daft Punk duo there?
Yes.
No, I missed that.
I mean, it's not really Daft Punk, but it reminded me of them. They both looked like they had those types of headpieces.
My point.
Yes, anyway, Christy, go for it.
Was that if you're basing it on being a Star Trek fan, this movie is a classic every time. If you're basing it on a universal, it's a classic every time because it's Star Trek, not because it's a good movie.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can
see
anything. Yeah, I agree with so that. If you're a Star Trek, okay, I'm not an avid Star Trek fan.
No, you're not, because you wouldn't watch the entire Next Generation start to finish.
Even
on Netflix.
If it's not a good movie, it's still a good movie.
Because you're a
Okay, that makes no sense to me. I'm sorry.
It does if you're a Star Trek fan, like, because that's all you have.
Here. What's
that? Thank you, Paul.
If Joss Whedon, I'm a big Joss Whedon fan, if he came out with something... Why?
All the characters that Star Trek have
okay, we will have another... I could go off on about for 5 minutes on why Joss Whedon, I'm not a Joss Whedon fan, even though that I like Firefly and I liked what he did with Avengers.
Okay. No, that's fine. But I can still not like things that he's done.
Did you not hear me? I would complain about cheesy acting.
Let me finish. I can, I can like him.
Panties in a bunch.
I can like him overall, but I can say, oh, this movie of his, I didn't really like. Or this show of his, or this episode of whatever, I didn't really care for. I don't have to say, oh, that's a classic episode just because Joss Whedon made it. That's the point.
No. But you're almost there. Seriously. Okay, is like saying, okay, if you're a Joss Whedon fan, you don't have to like everything that he's done.
Yeah.
But this is one of the better ones, okay? Okay. This is like the same thing with Star Trek. You don't have to like all the Star Treks, but this movie is one of the better ones for the old classic Star Trek.
Oh, I thought you guys were saying if you're a fan of the Star Trek universe, everything you have to consider a classic.
You don't have to, but you would out of love.
This is one of the better ones.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
Wow.
I think I understand. What?
Wow, you got your panties in a twist there.
No, I'm wanting to understand because...
No, he says defensively, only I'm sitting across from you and watching
here's
you
get how, here's how
more
you
and more
understand.
Tense.
Just accept what we say.
Yes! These are not the droids you're looking for.
Oh my goodness. Mixing franchises. But we've done that plenty tonight. Well... All that to say, I rate Star Trek 4 second class. And with that, the Retro Rewind podcast considers Star Trek 4 The Voyage Home a disputed second class movie. If you are a Trekkie or Trekker, I do not know the difference. But if you are a fan of Star Trek, you probably want to go see this movie. Or you just like the types of movies Paul likes, go see this movie. But if you are neither of those, I would go ahead and... Go see Star Trek Into Darkness.
Have you seen that one?
No, it comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, but have you seen the Star Trek before that one?
Yes.
And then why don't you recommend people go see that one?
Oh,
since that's
go
something
see
that you've
both.
Seen and you can recommend.
Oh, fine.
But Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be in the second one. Love.
Is it Cumberbatch? I thought it was Cumberbatch.
Whatever. I don't know.
I thought it was Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, that too. But he's going to be.
Or Smog.
He's Khan. It's awesome. Yes.
Anyway.
Glorious.
Alice, thank you for waiting so long to bring up the communication satellites, but let's go ahead and do that now.
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
Alrighty, we don't have any feedback this week, but if you would like to send us feedback, you can get in touch with us either on the post for this episode, which will be at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP12. You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/retrorewindpodcast. And those are the probably the two best ways to get in touch with us, but you can also email us at the email address is feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. And that can be for any of us, and I'll filter it to the appropriate person. But let's say someone wants to contact you individually, Paul. Where could they do that? And do you have anything you'd like to promote this week?
Not really, but you can find me at www, although you don't have to put in www anymore because we're that advanced in our technology. You can just type in pauljpowers.com and find me there. I'm available at Twitter at Paul J Powers and Facebook and a couple others, I think. Google
Very
Plus.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. Christy, how about you? Where can people get a hold of you? And do you have anything you'd like to promote this week?
You can get a hold of me through the same way they can get a hold of you.
Perfect.
And I do would like to, I don't know if this is a promotion, but if anybody is the regular listener and wants to know, I am going to India in October for 9 days with our church. We sponsor an orphanage out there for kids who have been orphaned because of AIDS, and most of them have AIDS. Mm-hmm. So they've been stuck in an orphanage because their non-AIDS relatives don't want to take care of them because of lack of education and medical supplies out there.
So
anyway,
sad.
A team of us are going out there just to hang out and love on these little kiddos, and I'm really excited and really nervous, and I would appreciate prayers. And if you'd like to support in any way, you can contact Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm very impressed with you. I just want to say I'm very impressed with you for stepping out there and being willing to go do that.
Thank you.
It's really awesome.
I'm excited. It'll be in the state Mizoram. Of India, which is the little tiny piece of land that is not attached to the mainland, and will be in the city Aizwal.
If you'd like to get a hold of me, you could do it also through the show. All those wonderful places I said before. You could also tweet me or follow me at on Twitter. I am at, this has changed recently. I am at.
Well, that's a long one.
Oh my gosh.
You said at, this has changed recently. Go ahead.
My new Twitter is at FXRUIZX.
Whoa.
Change
it up.
Yeah. It was Francisco X Ruiz, but for the sake of being able to be hopefully just tweet and retweet easier in Twitter, I decided to reduce the character count on my name. And the thing I'd like to promote this week is...
Awesome. I'm going to change mine so it's 140 characters long. That way no one could ever mention me.
Diabolical as always, Paul.
Sorry, go ahead. You were saying?
Yeah. I just wanted to promote Pixel Press again. Pixel Press again. I'm so looking forward to this game. I cannot tell you how much. And I'm going to start drawing my own level. I'm going to, like, the app isn't out yet. The app isn't out yet, but you can go to the site and download the graph paper now and actually start designing your own level. And I think they're doing a contest, maybe. It might be over by now, but a contest for best levels. And you may, if yours is picked, you may have your level be one of the levels that comes packaged with the game. So I'm going to be doing that and having fun doing it. Again, the website for that is pixelpressgame.com. Yes, I was just double checking that that was right. Yes, that is the address. And last but not least, I want to thank Paul for being on the show as always.
Yo.
You rock. And thank you, Christy, for coming on once again and just enriching the show with your delightfulness.
Aw, that was adorable. I wouldn't quite say that that's what I do, but thank you for being so loving.
You bet.
Makes me sick.
See, that was my actual motive. I just want to make Paul sick. And but even, you know what, guys, as awesome as you are, I really got to thank our listeners way more than you guys.
Because without them, we'd just be talking to ourselves.
Talking to ourselves, pretty much.
Which is kind of what a podcast is.
Well, yeah. But we love that you guys listen to us, and we love getting feedback from you when you do send that. If you'd like to go even above sending us feedback, that'd be amazing. You could support the show in a few different ways. The first is just tell your friends. Check out this podcast, RetroRewindPodcast.com. If you can't remember that address and just do a Google search for Retro Rewind Podcast, we should be up there at the top.
.com.
The second way you could support us is go on to iTunes or even Stitcher and leave us a review of the show. We would certainly prefer a 5-star rating, but anything that's an honest review, we'd love to get that from you guys. And then the last thing you could do, if you've been on the site recently, you can see that there's a little support our site, buy a riff track module on the right there. That just means if you click on that link and buy anything from Riff Tracks, which, if you don't know, that's essentially the Mystery Science 3000 guys making an audio MP3 that you can play while you're watching whatever movie they're riffing on. And they do their sort of comedy bit to that. And I always find those funny. So if you buy from them, we get a little percentage of that. And that'd be a great way to support keeping the lights on, keeping the podcast going. So thank you. Yeah, totally. Thank you all once again. And until next time, like a Pokemon, we'll catch you later.
Gotta catch them all.
Retro Rewind mission complete. Proceed to Nat Point Omega and return to base.